Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, gamers? You are watching Kinda Funny Games Daily for November 11th, 2021. I only briefly forgot what day it is because I am packing, so time is meaningless to me. I am Tomor Hussein, and joining me, as always, is my brother from another mother, Tim Gettys.
Very excited for you. Moving out, fresh start.
Yeah.
You know, unpacking is the game of last week, at the very least, so
exactly.
I feel like you're kind of on trend here.
And I'm moving closer to you lot. I'm gonna be around, so Nick.
We had our
first like proper cinema visit. Our theater.
I got to
visit,
touch maybe. You.
Yeah, it was genuinely. I didn't show it in that moment, but when I went home, I had a little cry. I was like, "Finally, got to touch some friends."
But, yeah. It was so funny. We went and Gia and Chastity saw each other, and Chastity was saying hi, and Gia didn't even recognize her because the mask, and it has just been so long, and all of a sudden she's like, "Oh my God!" Like they know each other so well. It's just so funny. Like you just don't see someone for a long time, and just like a mask can just throw you off.
The wild thing was like that was I think the first time I've seen Kevin in person.
Oh,
it'd
man.
Been like it'd been Powerful. At least a year and a half to 2 years since I'd seen Barrett, and like it was wild. Like
I think we
and Andy as well.
We hung out like a couple of weeks, I think, at a potential trivia night before the like pandemic like really hit here and we had to start staying inside and all that stuff. So it's been since January or February of 2020. That was a nice surprise because I when Tim was like, all right, like who's coming to Eternals? And I was like, yeah, I want to come. Like I thought it was just going to be the regular like KF crew. And then to like, see you, to see Chastity, to see Imran. Like that was like, holy shit, I'm so glad I came here. Barely even for the movie, but mainly to see the homies again. That was awesome.
And hopefully
I'd be wrong about this, Tam, but I feel like, correct me if I'm just totally off base here, I think I've only ever been in person with you twice this time, and the first time I met you, which was also at the same theater, I don't
was
remember
it?
What we were watching.
What were we watching? Yeah.
I just saw you, and I was just like, oh, you're Tam, right? Like that. Like
I just
knew you from Games Daily, like from us reading your stories.
Yeah. I think it was that cinema. I think we might have been in the same vicinity during an E3 where you were on the GameSpot stage.
Oh, but absolutely.
I don't think like we acknowledged each other. It would have been like
exactly.
You were on stage. I was like,
you're on another stage
the scenes
or whatever.
Or so on another stage or something like that. Yeah. But
I love
you know,
it.
Life is changing.
Yeah.
We found a way. It brought us together.
Matters.
Yeah, of course. As always, I like to start the Kind of Funny Games Dailies that I'm on with a little history lesson. So let's roll through some November 11 birthdays. Fictional birthday, Bond, James Bond,
Ooh.
Born November 11th. Other birthdays, Stanley Tucci, Demi
Tooch.
Moore, the Tooch, Demi Moore, Calista Flockhart.
Stanley Tucci featured in not one, but two Transformers movies as completely unrelated characters.
Mm.
One of them, Merlin.
Wasn't he also in a DC movie? Or am I mistaking it for someone
else?
He's
in Captain America. He's the scientist
who in Captain
makes,
America.
Captain America. He's great in that movie. God damn, what a good movie.
Also, the Japanese release date for the PlayStation 3, 11/11. You'd love to see it. In 1968, Veterans Day was changed to the fourth Monday in October by President LBJ. Is that Lyndon Baines Johnson? Is that right?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. And then it was changed back to November 11th in 1975 by President Gerald Ford. We'll have a Veterans Day related plug later on, but please be excited. Now you know the history of it.
And it looks like no DC movie for the Tooch.
Oh,
yet.
Sad.
Yes.
Get him in there. Mm-hmm. In 1851, the first U.S. patent number 8509. I don't know how it's the first one, and they were like 8509. Let's roll. For a telescope design was issued to Alvin Clark of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Here's the thing, Tam. It makes a lot of sense to me because every once in a while when we're working with sponsors and they ask for like an invoice thing, especially in our early days, it's kind of funny. I'd put our invoice number at like 67 just because I was like, I want it to look like we've done it before.
And done loads.
Like, oh, yeah, no, we know what the fuck we're doing.
That's very smart. In 1994, Bill Gates bought Leonardo da Vinci's Codex Leicester for $30.8 million. I think that is. It was an insightful overview of Da Vinci's thoughts on a variety of topics, and also was the most expensive book or manuscript of all time. Bill Gates is just holding on to that shit. That's wild.
Wow.
In 2006, the number one hit for November 11th to December the 1st, 2006, was Justin Timberlake featuring T.I., My Love.
What an era. For JT and for T.I.
And for T.I. And then, of course, in 2011, it was a launch. Thank you for whoever added this.
You're welcome.
Barrett. It was a launch for a little indie game called Skyrim. Is that right?
Skyrim. Yeah.
Skyrim.
I think the emphasis is on the rim part.
Okay.
Skyrim.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For some reason, somehow we're still playing that game right now. To this day, it's still getting released.
It's funny because, like, you know, obviously this game's been ported 10 bazillion times, but like there are very few games. I've been at over, I think, 10 official E3s I've been at. I've covered at this point 12, I think. And there have been in that entire time only three or four games that were the kind of like, hey, everyone, stop what you're doing. You need to go check this out. Like, you need to get the appointment to get the behind closed doors look at this game. Skyrim, Cyberpunk, Titanfall 1, and I think those are the three that I put in like that category. And then I think underneath that, like, there was a fervor around Rainbow Six Siege as well.
Oh, Siege.
Yeah, wow. That was like a big surprise for people, but it wasn't on quite the same level as the other three I named.
I have a viral tweet related to Skyrim, in which I was on a GameSpot stage holding a big sign that says "No more Skyrim" on it. So if you search my name and Skyrim, oh man, I got real shit. The funny thing that happened was someone took, instead of like screenshotting the picture of it, someone like got a monitor and then took a picture of like a top down of it. So it makes my head look really big and my arms look really small. And they put it on Reddit with "this guy skipped arm day." And I was like, fuck, they got me.
I love it.
But there it is. And obviously that's come round the amount of times that the game has been released, that tweet has come round as well, as many times. And I love it. Thank you to the internet. Today's stories include Steam Deck delays. Damn, still getting me. A ninja is for joining Fortnite, but let me tell you, this is a good ninja. This one knows how to play games with women. And we'll also talk about what's in store for the Game Awards and plenty more. Because, of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through the news, the nerdy news that you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong at kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And if you don't want to watch live, you can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunny and roosterteeth.com, or listen on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. And obviously, remember, you can use the Epic creator code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases. You know you're playing Rocket League. You know you're playing Fortnite. Just chuck that code in there and you will help support us and support the channel. To be part of the show, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze-tiered members or above get to write in, and silver-tier members or above get the show ad-free along with the patron-exclusive post-show. Housekeeping. I mean, goddamn, one time let it be a bad game of sweeping. The games cast for Elden Ring is live right now. It features resident From Software expert, Kind of Funny's biggest From Software expert, me. I'm taking it.
Well deserved. Oh, yeah.
And up and comer, mm-hmm. Andy Cortez.
Your apprentice.
The Apprentice, Andy Cortez. I need
somebody to do some fan art of Tim as the master and Andy as the apprentice learning from software.
Andy's there. I've been watching Andy play through Sekiro. My man is popping off in a way that is very, very like exciting to me, and I'm proud. And obviously, Young Bless is there as well, the Bloodborne and Sekiro fan. I love that we have a crew. And we talk about Elden Ring. Both Andy and I played it, and Bless grills us about the experience, so you get loads of information there. And then there's also a really, really good 30-minute video that Andy put together of kind of like a Let's Play style experience, and it is well worth checking out. It's a lot of fun. I watched it, and it was a good time. And today you can also look forward to the Call to Arms live stream. This is a 10-hour stream on Veterans Day, which is today, that features some awesome content creators raising funds for Stack Up. And Stack Up has a mission of using gaming to end veteran suicide, which I'm sure you agree is a very important cause. It will be live on their Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/stackup.org. That's twitch.tv/stackup.org. And this starts... twitch.tv/stackup.org starting at 12 p.m. Pacific time.
Stack Up is fantastic. They've been homies for a very long time. Dave Krause actually is the director of all this stuff, and he's been on Games Daily before. Amazing causes and stuff. Go support him for sure.
Yeah, and if you want to get involved with that, you can visit stackup.org and check out how to help there. As Tim said, well worth your time. Thank you to our Patreon producers, which are Pranksy and Blackjack. And today we are brought to you by Shin Megami Tensei 5, Credit Karma, Raycon, and Arcane. But we'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and will forever be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We've got 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Barrett. That's powerful. Mm-hmm. First things first, Spider-Man trailer is out for Avengers, Marvel's Avengers. It looks cool. Tim, what'd you make of it?
It's cool. I mean, you know, it's a tough thing where it's like, this is kind of the bare minimum of what you'd expect for this. There's no gameplay. There's no real info. I don't know who's voicing him. Seems fun. This trailer was a fun 2-minute watch. I enjoyed it. But
yeah.
You know, it's Avengers, and, you know, seeing the bad guys they're fighting and, like, a lot of the tone stuff, it's Avengers, but a couple cute, fun moments in the trailer. I recommend watching it at the very least.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun moments. I think the suit is really cool. I like that it looks like a mixture between, like, animated series and comic book and MCU. Yep. I think the tricky thing is, like, we're always going to compare it to Insomniac stuff and the movie stuff. There's a chunkiness to his movements that I've looked at, and I was like, wow, you did that flip. But you didn't do that flip. You did that flip in the way that I would do that flip.
Yeah. But, oh my God, that's so funny. I don't want to go on too long about this, but tomorrow's Disney, or Friday is Disney Plus Day. And to celebrate that, one of the things they're doing is adding the IMAX versions to all of the MCU movies that have IMAX footage. So there's 13 of them on Disney Plus, and they actually released them early. So they released them this morning. So you can go check that out if you have Disney Plus. So I spent my morning flipping through some of the iconic scenes, and I watched the entire airport scene from Civil War.
Ooh.
And God, just seeing the way Spidey moves, the way he talks, like the way he like kicks up and flips and all that. It's like, I watched that and then I watched this trailer. So you are absolutely spot on, Tam. There is like a chunkiness to the movement.
Yeah, there's clearly now good Spider-Man, and then there's Tobey Maguire, and this is where we're at now.
Oh, don't do that.
First story comes from the world's best video game website, number one, GameSpot.com. On which Steve Watts writes, the Steam Deck has been delayed to February 2022. Steam Deck, the Switch-like portable PC from Valve, has been delayed. Citing shortages caused by the global supply chain issues, the company has issued a statement saying that it will now start shipping in February 2022. With the new ship date, everyone in the queue will be moved back by 2 months from their original estimate. If your Steam Deck was estimated for January 2022, it will now be estimated to ship in March. In this statement, Valve apologized for the delay and promised to keep users updated going forward. Steam Deck was announced earlier this year, promising a handheld-like experience that uses the Steam interface to play your PC games. Device starts out $400, but scales up to $650 for the highest storage and some extra hardware features. Valve took pre-orders with a $5 deposit, with plans to charge the full purchase price once shipments begin going out. Since then, Valve has been showing off games that work with the Steam Deck, as well as warning against tinkering with it too much. Yeah, you can read the full statement, but it is basically like, we are very sorry, it's delayed by 2 months. We are so sorry. We'll make sure to talk to you more about it going forward. How do you feel about delay? Do you have one pre-ordered? Are you interested in getting one?
I do not have one pre-ordered. I infamously said I will never get one of these things because they're not for me. And I have not ate my words quite yet. I mean, I wouldn't be able to eat them if I wanted to. But I have had this weird desire to play very specific games portably in my bed that I can't currently do. So it's like, am I going to fucking buy this thing to emulate old ass shit? No, I'm not going to do it. So please, guys, hold me to this. If someone gives me one of these things, fine. But I ain't asking for it. I ain't asking anyone.
Come to the dark side. Just do it.
What's the dark side?
Just do it.
The Steam Deck people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fine, dude.
Did y'all see, also I slacked you, the play date has also been delayed as well to early 2022.
Oh, you hate to see that. Other
hardware delays.
Yeah. A battery tragedy is what is cited for that one, which I think is a way better way to explain it. Like, don't do boring stuff like, oh, it's chip shortages. Say something like, bandits have run away with chips. Something like that.
You know? Something more fun.
Fun.
Well, here's the thing. I'm already, like, in this state of constant delay with the Analog Pocket that I can't wait for, and it just keeps getting pushed and keeps getting pushed and keeps getting pushed. So I'm like, I don't need more things to delay and disappoint me. But I'm very, very, very excited for the Steam Deck to hit. I hope that it's incredible. I hope that it is like everything that people want it to be. And I can't wait to see other people like review it and really kind of dive into all the things you can do with it. Cause I love portable gaming and I love tech. So I want this to succeed.
Yeah, I have one pre-ordered. I think I pre-ordered the expensive one, which I'm now thinking was probably a foolish decision. And I was excited to it. It's just a shame that Mongoose attacked Gabe Newell, and now it's been delayed. You hate to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Next story. It's one close to my heart, everyone, but also one very far from my heart because it involves Fortnite. Naruto is coming to Fortnite. Yes, believe it. Datebayo, a ninja, the ninja we've all been finally waiting for, finally joins Fortnite. Now, this story was posted on Twitter yesterday, so it's not from a specific website. I just made that shit up and put it in the document, you know? Naruto is coming to Fortnite on the 16th of November 2021. The official Fortnite Twitter account posted an image, as we saw earlier, that had the Fortnite cross Naruto Shippuden logos on it, along with Believe It. Which, as you know, if you watch the dub, is his catchphrase instead of Datebayo in Japanese. On October 26th, data miners found a new NPC codenamed Headband K is set to come to the island soon and will act as a boss character. This is pulling from GameSpot.com, written by Mark Delaney. Even dropping an explosive kunai when defeated. In the Naruto anime and manga, the hero uses a kunai regularly, and of course he's known to wear his signature headband too. I mean, most characters do. Data miner Hypex discovered these and a few more clues regarding the forthcoming arrival of Naruto to Fortnite, including a nearly one-to-one creative asset meant to look like his favorite dish, a bowl of ramen, specifically Ichiraku ramen, which is his specific favorite ramen. I am very excited about this. Tim, how do you feel, one, about this character coming, and two, about Naruto in whole? This is going to be an evangelizing session for Naruto. Let's go.
Yeah, I have no real opinion on Naruto as a whole. In high school, there was this girl I had a crush on, and she was really into it, and there was this anime club, and she was like, Tim, you should come. They're doing a screening of episode one. And I came, and I watched it, and after it, I was like, I don't think I have a crush on you anymore. Like, it's all good, but like,
oh, no, wait.
For me.
Wow, hold he on. Hated Naruto
hold on.
So
hold on,
much.
Hold on,
he,
hold
no,
on,
it
hold
wasn't
on.
That. It
we
wasn't
need to
that.
Clarify.
I want to clarify it. What, Tim, what do you want me to clarify?
Firstly,
here?
I'm going to say I love the fact that this is the second episode with us in a row where you've revealed that you've done something wild to impress a girl. Last week,
this was literally just an invite. We were friends, and like it was whatever. Yeah.
Secondly, the clarification I want is: was it watching Naruto that put you off?
No, it wasn't. Honestly, I kind of enjoyed the episode. I thought it was like pretty fun. It was just like more just the group. I was like, the environment of this anime club, I was like, these aren't my people. And like, I'm not hating on these people. And at the end of the day, look at my people here, okay?
It's just
this specific group. I was like, ah.
Were any of them wearing headbands?
There were a lot of headbands.
Okay.
A lot of headbands. Tim,
this is important.
Yeah.
Did you see any of them running with their arms behind their backs?
See, I think it was too early for that. I think came later. But I can guarantee you that those people I'm talking about right now, to this day, do that. They do that. They're running for the bus. That's how they do it.
Tim is anti-weeb confirmed.
I would also like to know that those people, you made the right decision in abandoning those people. But I also, like, in the spirit of truth, I have both worn a headband and run with my arms behind my back.
I respect you for that. Look, like, here's my thing. I'm not talking about those people as a whole. I'm talking about those specific people in Lowell High School, class of 2007, okay?
Yeah. I reckon you should check it out, because at least watch it up to the end of, like, the Rock Lee versus Gaara fight, because that is the most inspiring shit you will ever see in your life. Like, that stuff is, like, incredible. But yeah, I'm extremely excited to see Naruto coming to Fortnite. I don't play a lot of Fortnite anymore. I was like the main coverage guy for Fortnite for a really long time, and then one day I went, wait, I can delegate this stuff, why am I doing this myself? So I got other people to do it, and from that point on I was like, I'm good. But I love the idea of the character coming to this. It looks like they're specifically, let's get nerdy for a bit, this is Shippuden, so it's time skip Naruto, which means he may have some of his, like, Ninetales abilities intact. If he's showing up as a boss and he can use QB stuff, that could be really cool. I love the idea if they go big with it in the same way that they do their kind of, like, events. And they, you know, use Ninetales chakra and that kind of stuff. It could be really, really, really cool. It looks like it's just Naruto for right now, but I imagine they have skins. I hope that there's some, like, other characters that show up, because I want Lee more than anyone else. But I'm excited either way. I may have to just
install. Will Rock Lee get Tam to play Fortnite?
Bro, if Rock Lee is in there, I will play it. And if you want me to play with you, I will 100%. play with you guys.
I mean, like, I know immediately who would love to play Naruto Fortnite with you, Tam, and that is one Kevin Coelho. 100%.
Yes, I am 100%
in. He loves both of those.
Let me unlock the gates with Lee, and we're in business. Unstoppable. Drop the weights, unlock the gates. Let me in.
Rock Lee is a cool dude. He's a cool dude.
Here's the thing about Rock Lee, Tim, just real quickly. Lee exists in a world. So everyone in this world has ninja abilities, special abilities. Rock Lee is incapable of doing any of that stuff.
He's a muggle.
And then he, through sheer force of will and training, becomes the best taijutsu user in that universe.
He's like fuck.
Unstoppable. And he's like, oh, he's so good. Anyway,
see, here's the thing. I don't ever want to watch Naruto again in my life. But what I do want is I want Tam to just tell me the whole story.
Yes,
because I feel like you'll make it even better.
It's so good.
You can give me visuals. I don't want to hear it though. You have to do all the voices.
There's a point where he tries to drink some medicine and accidentally drinks some alcohol, and because of the effect it has on him being a martial artist, it unlocks drunken fist style for him.
Shut the fuck up! That is awesome!
Come on! Incredible scenes. Anyways, yeah.
I love that he's coming to Fortnite. This is great. Fortnite continues to just be this insane crossover. And I don't know why people hate on this, because I think it's really damn cool. And I love that there is no consistency in the who, what, when, why. Because we got Marvel characters, we got DC characters, we got Ariana Grande, and we got Naruto. And it's all totally cool because they make it work, and they have a art style that fits all those things. And I think that is the damn key. Shout out to you, Fortnite.
Shout out to you, Fortnite. Fortnite, probably a game we're going to be seeing at the Game Awards because, as the next story says, written on by Eddie McCooch on the second best video game website on the internet, GameSpot.com, the Game Awards 2021 will have 40 to 50 games. That is a wild amount of games. This year's Game Awards event will not only celebrate 2021's games, but will serve as a news event where games will be announced and shown off. Organizer Jeff Keighley says in a new interview published on the Epic Games website that 40 to 50 games will appear at the event in some way or another. The number of new game announcements, meanwhile, will be in the double digits. Keighley gave no indication or tease about the specific games to be shown, but he said many of them will be titles releasing in 2022 and 2023. He added that some of these games will appear at the Game Awards, will provide a better look at what the PS5 and Xbox Series X/S are capable of. Here's a quote from Young Jeff, who says, "I still feel like we've only kind of sort of touched the surface of what's possible on the PS5 and Xbox Series X, so I think you'll see some of the stuff in this show that is truly pretty stunning. We'll see footage of games that will remind people that the best of the industry is still to come." Keighley teased that the Game Awards might eventually evolve to further embrace the metaverse, whereby people can watch the show inside games like Fortnite and Core. Keighley guessed by 2026, more people will be watching a show like the Game Awards from inside a virtual world as opposed to consuming it via traditional means through a standard video feed. And here is the most important bit. This is where Jeff Keighley becomes base Jeff Keighley. Okay? While Keighley is keen on the metaverse, the Game Awards will not do anything with NFTs. Quote, "We are not doing any NFT stuff," said Jeff Keighley. Absolutely based. Jeff Keighley, you are based.
Simplest is bad. Man of the people when it comes to this type of stuff. He's trying to build the Game Awards to be this shining beacon, this place that everyone can join on one stage. He's done an incredible job for a decade, and it's only gotten better, in my opinion. I think that it is far from flawless. This news of 40 to 50 games doesn't excite me because this kind of seems par for the course, and it also means 10 to 20. Five of these games are going to be advertisement marketing spots. But guess what? That pays the bills. That allows this show to happen. And that allows the big megaton announcements to have something. And like, I think that there is a balance that will be found. We're still in a probably, I would say, he's saying by 2026, more people are going to be watching in a virtual world from real world. I think that's an exaggeration. I do think that by 2026, the Game Awards are going to be tight as hell, awesome, and less filler stuff and more just tight. Here we go. I still worry that this is going to be too long. That's been one of the biggest issues with the Game Awards, is it is like a 3-hour long show at some years, and really tighter can be better. We just watched the Thunderful indie stream, Thunderful World, that they did yesterday, and it was fucking incredible. Granted, smaller scale, one publisher, it's just indie games, but it was 22 minutes and it was just banger after banger, top to bottom. And I want to see that eventually on a huge AAA scale, all the way down to indies, all the way down to games that aren't just, you know, from the traditional America or Japan. But Game Awards has really kind of been pushing a lot of the Chinese games and a lot of the really kind of interesting things that we wouldn't necessarily expect from traditional gaming coverage. So I love what the Game Awards are trying to do. Yeah. I love what the Game Awards have done. And I have nothing but faith that they're only going to get better.
Yeah, I think like the production team, Jeff, are still finding the balance on like how long to go and where to put the announcements and pacing wise. But all the content is always top notch. The production value is always top notch. And I think it serves the industry really, really well to have something like this in existence, because no one is doing it like Jeff. Like, no one's putting in the effort, and it clearly shows that he cares. Obviously, the kind of like sponsorship stuff always creeps its way in, but it's a necessary part of this kind of experience. It has to, and the only reason it can go as big as it is right now is because of those. So although we all poke fun and have our laughs, ultimately I'm of the opinion that I'm glad Jeff is doing this stuff, and I'm glad he's able to throw this stuff together. So the idea of seeing 40 to 50 games is incredibly exciting to me. Is terrifying as someone who will have to cover it, and sure, the same goes for you folks as well. But you know, it's an exciting thing to look forward to in the next couple months. You know,
definitely, I love it. Yeah. Every year it's a blast. Every year there's always some fun to be had. There's so many memes. There's so many great announcements, exciting things. Like, it's I love that we are a month away from this thing, and like I don't really know what to expect from this year. And it's again a weird year because of delays and the situation the world's in, but I'm expecting we're gonna get some fun stuff from everybody, you know. Like I think that it wouldn't be a shock to see a huge announcement from Xbox, Sony, and Nintendo.
For sure. We've got a couple of more news stories, but before we get to those, let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Arcane, a Netflix original series from the creators of League of Legends. Arcane is a 9-episode, 3-part series that follows the story of two young girls, Vi and Powder, born in the Undercity beneath Piltover. Their eagerness to prove themselves will set in motion a series of events that will take the relationship to its breaking point and transform them forever. This is going to be the animation event of the year, and you can catch champions we know and love like never before, and their stories will all intertwine in this action-packed series. Whether you're a longtime League player or brand new to Runeterra, Arcane is a great way to get to know the vast world and origins of iconic characters of League of Legends. Dive into the stories behind one of the most played games of all time. Every once in a while, I think about that and it blows my mind. Discover the secrets of Piltover and its Undercity and prepare for the epic battle that is only just beginning. Arcane is now streaming exclusively on Netflix. Next up, shout out to Credit Karma. Is it time for a big change? If you're thinking about home renovations or finally paying down those old credit card bills, Credit Karma can help find a loan that works for you. Whether you're refinancing credit card debt or paying for an upcoming expense, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you fresh personal loan offers that are personalized just for you. It's totally free and easy to sign up for a Credit Karma account with no effect on your credit score. On Credit Karma, you can check out multiple loan offers side by side with easy to compare estimated terms to make sure you get the best deal. And once you've got a loan, Credit Karma will help you track your progress as you pay off your debt and even let you know if you can refinance and save. If you're ready to apply, you should head over to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers with your approval odds right now. Go to creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the right loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. Next up, shout out to Shin Megami Tensei 5. It's the newest installment in the acclaimed JRPG series developed by Atlus. You play as a high school student who is suddenly transported from modern-day Tokyo to a post-apocalyptic world. Granted a cursed power to save his life, the protagonist becomes a new being, neither human nor demon, Nahobino. So there you go. Explore the demon-infested wasteland of an enigmatic realm known as Da'at, filled with mythical deities and demonic tyrants in constant conflict for survival. Search for answers and forge your own path in a battle between light and dark. Your choices will dictate the fate of the world. Turn formidable foes into worthy allies by recruiting them, then fuse them to create demons customized to your playstyle. Shin Megami Tensei 5 has been fully rendered in 3D, a first for the mainline Shin Megami Tensei series. Shin Megami Tensei 5 is out now. You can check out the digital, deluxe, and standard editions on the Nintendo eShop or by clicking in the link in the description. And finally, shout out to Raycon. It's never too early to start holiday shopping, especially not when you can save big on a gift that they'll use every day, like the Raycon wireless earbuds. My brother's been using these. He's been training for his marathon, and he's been jamming with the Raycons. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise-isolating fit, you can start listening easily and keep listening for hours. The audio quality is just as good as a bunch of the other premium brands, but at half the price. Their new everyday earbuds come with 3 new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best. Pure, more balanced mode, and bass mode. And with 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, you can't lose. Go to buyraycon.com/KFGD today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available only for a limited time and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/KFGD to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. buyraycon.com/KFGD.
Story number 4 for today comes by way of Jez Corden at Windows Central, and that is a couple of new Xbox exclusives have been leaked. That is Project Midnight from Compulsion and Pentiment from Obsidian. Details on 2 unannounced Xbox Game Studios exclusive have seemingly leaked. Compulsion joined Microsoft near the start of their content acquisition spree. The firm is known primarily for We Happy Few, which despite some gameplay problems, delivered big in art direction department. It's true. Compulsion's first outing as part of Xbox Game Studios is currently codenamed Midnight. This upcoming title is supposedly a third-person action game set in a dark and fantastical world. Some of the game's early concept art can be seen out in the wild, so if you want to check that out, make sure you go and have a look at Windows Central. And they represent the game's protagonist alongside warped harpy-like humanoids that appear to descend through various iterations of mutation. Midnight is described as a coming-of-age tale drawing upon inspirations from America's Deep South. The game features magic and large fantastical beasts with a strong Southern Gothic vibe, which I'm not sure what that means, but there it is. The game is wholly single player as an experience with what has been described as a strong story. No info on launch timing of Midnight yet, but you're likely looking at the next couple of years for an official reveal and perhaps even a full launch, although it could come later depending on Compulsion's growth and ambitions for the title. The second game was revealed by Jeff Grubb on his premium Giant Bomb show, Grubb's Next. Subscribe to Giant Bomb now! Obsidian's indie-style effort is emerging from a small team led by Josh Sawyer, famed for his leadership on what is arguably the best Fallout game, Fallout New Vegas. Those were from Jez Corden, but I echo his sentiment. As well as his personal fave, Pillars of Eternity, another good game. The new project is being called Pentiment, which refers to an underlying image in a painting, especially one that has become visible when the top layer of paint has turned transparent with age, according to the dictionary. That is a very interesting concept there. The naming convention hints at the game's premise by which you act as an investigator in 16th century Europe, uncovering the mystery and truth behind a grisly murder. Jeff Grubb mentioned that Pentiment takes cues from the likes of Disco Elysium and the branching narrative designs Josh Sawyer is known for. You'll be able to investigate and make accusations against the characters in-game, which then could lead to a cascading consequence effect if you're wrong. It will be dialogue heavy with decisions to make and response options to choose from, and these will shape your experience as you unwrap the murder conspiracy before you. Pentiment is being built by a small team of around 12 people and is more of a narrative RPG adventure than something combat oriented. And then there are assets that are floating out in the world as well that you can check out as well. And it's exploring experimental gameplay elements, although they may ultimately not make it into the final release. And then Grubb also said that Pentiment is gunning for a 2022 launch. Tim, how do you feel about those two games? Any of them pique your interest?
I mean, Compulsion's really interesting. I really enjoyed the game that they launched on PS4 with, and I really like that style. And I think that this is a perfect kind of place for Xbox Game Studios to be of, you know, really kind of having a wide breadth of types of content that they're going to be releasing on all of the different platforms, of course, including Game Pass. So, yeah, this sounds interesting. I like that they're talking about the second one kind of being a smaller thing, not combat-focused. Like, there's definitely not a lack of big combat focused RPGs coming to Xbox from Xbox Game Studios in the next couple of years across all their different studios. So imagining this being something a little bit different, a little bit smaller, I think is cool. I really like the idea of the first parties working on smaller games as well. I think that is something that we every once in a while get, but I think it kind of went by the wayside for a while. And it's always fun. Like even like looking at somebody like Nintendo, I really wish that they would put out just kind of smaller titles that are made by some of their kind of top tier teams more often. And I think that because of things like Game Pass, it does kind of incentivize the leadership over there to kind of think differently about the types of games they make and not only make one thing, because they're able to kind of turn a profit in a different way on different experiences.
Yeah, I like, I'm gonna pull from a mail that was sent in by a nanobiologist who said, after an exciting couple of days that seemed to continue with the reveal of two games in a work codename Midnight and Pentiment, One being coming of age story inspired by America's Deep South, and the latter being 16th century murder mystery. What expectations do you both have for these games, with both being made by small teams? Do you expect Obsidian to pull off what's a really interesting concept that sounds like a rival to Forgotten City and Disco Elysium in depth, when it sounds like it's a small team like Grounded? And what about Compulsion handling a very deep topic when we haven't seen too much from them regarding grand and deep worlds besides We Happy Few? When do you expect we will actually see these being played? So the thing that I want to kind of like take away from that is I'm super, super happy that, having acquired these studios, Microsoft is doing what they said when they mentioned, we want to give these studios that we're acquiring a safety net to do the things that they really want to explore the interesting things. I was thinking about this the other day, and yesterday even, I was thinking about it specifically within the context of first-person shooters, looking at Vanguard and the new Battlefield being out, and I don't remember a time when a interesting new concept for a first-person shooter was out there. Like, the closest that I can think of right now is, like, Splitgate. And then before that, it was, like, Titanfall to me. And then I started kind of, like, having that cascading effect where I was like, there's not a lot of really big risks or interesting ideas being taken in the, you know, AAA game space right now. And I was thinking about why that was, and it is that situation where, you know, people can't take risks on that level. Like, you can't spend that much money and put that much time and effort and marketing into it and not do something that's close to a sure shot. And the thing about Game Pass and the Xbox acquisitions that's really exciting is you can do that. That's what Microsoft have done. They've created the framework for developers to take big swings and have the backing of a Microsoft behind them, an Xbox behind them, but also do concepts that are unusual or just weird. Like, you know, this action game with the Deep South kind of like inspiration sounds really wild and very strange. And then like investigation elements and you know, the whole painting thing, like between these two concepts, I can at least look at them and be like, that sounds like, I can't immediately think about another game that it sounds exactly like. They specifically mention, you know, Disco Elysium and that kind of stuff, but I can't picture what those games are going to be like, and that's exciting to me. So I'm super, super happy that Microsoft is kind of like living up to their word and being like, yeah, we acquired these studios, now we're just going to empower them to make weird, cool stuff that they want to make. And then, you know, even if they are smaller projects or bigger projects, that's an exciting prospect for a lot of the studios that are coming into the Microsoft family and for gamers as a whole, whether you're Xbox or just general. So good on them all.
Yeah, totally. I do think that to counter kind of what you're saying about the no new ideas, I think that when it comes to the AAA stuff, like there is this level of language education that is required of like teaching gamers to understand how to play a certain type of game, because a lot of these games are very complicated, like even for like hardcore gamers, like people that like play a lot of things. And I think that as kind of new systems are introduced that just kind of become standardized over time, like I know that for years we've said Ubisoft games, but at this point it's kind of silly because it's just video games, right? Like any AAA video game has some type of tower element, has some type of like checklist to do and all that. But I feel like they're now shifting to, okay, but how do we actually like make that good at just a fundamental element of these games? Same thing happened to RPG systems in the generation prior to that, or even like more than that. But things like the ping system in Apex, that kind of like now is an expected thing to be in those type of multiplayer games. I think that once you have that basic language down, that's when you can kind of add more on top of it. And that's when I think you get things like Deathloop that are kind of like, we're going to use all the tools in the book that we've kind of perfected, and we're going to add more on top of that to make it a unique, special experience. Maybe not the whole thing being unique and special, but the hook and core of it is what makes it unique and special. And it reminds me a lot of like the movies that I enjoy the most, like the Marvel type things, where because we understand how these superhero movies work, and because there is a similarity between them all, it allows them to have kind of wackier, like the multiverse and shit, and people understand what's going on because we learned the language. And I think it's cool that we're hitting a point with a lot of the AAA games that they are learning from each other. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, like even in the accessibility way, where I truly imagine that in a couple of years, it is just going to be standard for AAA games to have some set of menu items that are for accessibility reasons. And that will trickle down across everything else when people realize, oh, that's the standard. That's what we should be having. And I think that that is the type of like game changing that is happening, that is slow, but it is turning the ship. So it might not feel like there's all these unique ideas, but a unique idea, the best ones are the ones that should be copied. But then that allows new unique ideas to be made. So it is kind of a double-edged sword there. But I agree that at the end of the day, it's cool that we're now in a place that we're going to get more than ever of all of it. More big AAA copycat games that might do something a little different, but then also smaller titles or small big titles like a Disco Elysium that are truly like nothing we've really seen before.
Yeah, and this is like one of those situations where like the idea of big games is constant. Like big games... striking or reaching out for more exciting ideas is becoming more relevant, and is becoming more frequent. And we still have indie games doing like really cool things, and there's a trickle down effect on that. And now that we see games like these two kind of adopting that indie mentality, I think that it's going to prove to be super, super beneficial for games as a whole when we get so many different new ideas happening on so many different levels. So yeah, at the very least, like speaking to Nano's question, I think that they can pull this off. I think that they can try, and I think that it's a necessary thing. Regardless of if they fail or succeed, at the very least, them doing something with it is going to be good for the industry as a whole. Like, I'm intrigued to check these games out now based on the small amount we know. I'm like, they are now on my radar more than anything. Like, if they announce a new Call of Duty right now, I'd be like, okay. But like, this is something that now is on my radar, so it's exciting.
Cool.
Speaking of Call of Duty, our next story it is for Call of Duty Vanguard, which leaks have hinted at Indiana Jones and Captain America coming.
Why not
to the game? Why not?
Where Captain the fuck America, is Naruto?
Where is Naruto? Why? What? Here's the thing, right? If you can put Naruto into Fortnite, he can go anywhere.
Yeah.
If he's good enough for them, he can go anywhere.
Naruto's role in the World War II era, history is very important, and I think we need to acknowledge that.
Imagine World War II. Yeah, get Rock Lee in there. Maybe chuck in, like, I don't know, Gaara. Gaara could do some shit with some sand, I think.
Oh, that's the man with the creepy sand behind him.
And he can manipulate it. Yeah.
He's a creepy boy.
Imagine if your World War II story had a giant demon fox with nine tails running around. That's the World War II I'm interested in. anyway, this story comes by way of Ray Gilliam at Polygon. That whole Naruto rant was me stalling so I could get the source up, because I forgot to type it in. Captain America and Indiana Jones have three things in common, says Ray, and he's right. They hate Nazis, they're owned by Disney, and they both might be coming to Call of Duty Vanguard. Let's go. Mm-hmm. According to unconfirmed references to the characters in the game's files, data miners say they have discovered in-game mentions and artwork that suggest that cameos for both Disney heroes could be making their way to the latest Call of Duty game, possibly in their own event. Call of Duty creator Modern NAS HD posted apparent references to Captain America and Indiana Jones sets discovered in Vanguard, as well as artwork of Captain America's player card. The two pieces of artwork that were posted are fan creations, though. So the ones that you've probably seen floating about now aren't real ones, but they do exist in the game files. And then VGC reported that it had seen additional artwork claimed to have been pulled from Vanguard's game files, including player cards featuring Indy and Cap. And other leakers have also hinted at Captain America and Indiana Jones tie-ins for the latest Call of Duty game. Both of them still unconfirmed. It wouldn't be a huge stretch, says Ray, for Call of Duty Vanguards. Both are period appropriate, battling through World War II in their own stories. Second, this will be the strangest crossover we've seen from Call of Duty. Wouldn't be. Not only have we seen R-rated action heroes like John McClane from Die Hard and John Rambo, but Frank the Bunny from Donnie Darko and Jigsaw from Saw, have also shown up in Call of Duty games.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Still, Disney characters, primarily Marvel superheroes, have mostly appeared in cartoonish, less violent forms in Fortnite, and one has to wonder how much of the family-friendly company wants to be associated with the realistic violence of Call of Duty. It's also possible that Captain America and Indy themselves won't appear in Call of Duty Vanguard, but their iconic weapons, the round shield and whip respectively, and gear could instead be included in the game. We've already talked about how it doesn't make any sense, but why not?
Everyone's doing it. Like, that's the thing, is like, it doesn't make any sense at this point. Doesn't make sense to say. Mm-hmm. It makes as much sense as anything else. Like, they've been doing this forever. They introduced zombies a decade ago and it's only gotten weirder since. So this is not a surprise at all. If it ends up happening in any way they just described, it'd be like, cool, it's another Tuesday.
The weird thing about Call of Duty for me and these kind of things doing it now is like, maybe I'm thinking too hard about it, but like, I always feel like it undermines the story of the whole thing. Like, I see like, oh, we're telling a World War II story and we've got these like characters and we've spent a lot of time writing this story and making it really heartfelt and emotional and connection. Also, Indiana Jones is here. And also Captain America's here. And I'm like, the kind of tonal whiplash that comes from these games now having these is like weird. Like, and it makes sense in Fortnite now because Fortnite is a massive joke thing where it's like anyone can be here. It's the Smash Brothers of shooters. Like, it doesn't really matter. But in Call of Duty, I'm just like, what's going on? What's happening here? I think the weapons and the skins make more sense. But even then, if there's a moment in Call of Duty where a soldier throws a shield and then it returns to him, I'm going to be like, what's going on there? That's
like, what's happening? Yeah, I'm always like, I think this stuff's kind of fun because like, it's not the main story. Like, it is going to be like some weird side, like Elseworld shit, which is like, yeah, fine, cool. But I mean, I think it makes more sense for the Warzone type gameplay modes necessarily than the like single player stuff. But I don't know. Like, this is weird, but not unheard of and not that surprising.
What I would say to Activision is stop pissing about with these characters that no one cares about and get us Simon Phoenix and John Spartan from Demolition Man. It's not that hard.
It would
fit in perfectly. Either you do it or EA do it in Battlefield.
I don't know why, I thought you were going to ask for Seinfeld for some fucking reason.
Seinfeld and Call of Duty, man.
Get
not?
Seinfeld in there. Get Frasier in there. Get all these weird
the way you were saying it, I was like, this motherfucker's about to say Seinfeld or some weird shit.
All I'm saying is, like, it makes sense for one of them to do it. I would actually love to see EA do it because he's called the Demolition Man. Simon Phoenix and John Spartan, they destroy stuff. Battlefield has Levolution, the act of destroying stuff. It makes perfect sense. Get a grip, all of you, and get in there. I think it will be quite some time before the Demolition Man and his foe, Simon Phoenix, are anywhere near any of those games. But if I wanted to know what's coming up more immediately to Mom and Grop's shops today, where would I look, Tim?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah.
Out today, we have Bright Memory Infinite for the PC. Interesting game. You can read a review of it on GameSpot.com. 6 out of 10. Maybe think about it. Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition, is out now on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, Switch, PC. I cannot wait to get back into Vice City and San Andreas.
I'm downloading it right now, and I cannot wait to play, baby. Let's go.
Are you playing? What are you playing it on?
PS5.
Nice. I think I might try the Switch version.
Yeah, I'm trying Switch as well.
I'm kind of interested in Switch too, we'll see.
It got that OLED. Baby.
Yeah, and I feel like they're the perfect games to kind of like, it's bedtime, you know, but you want to play something. It's just like, let's play a couple missions.
I know what you did. Yeah. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is also out on Switch if you want to check out one of the best Star Wars games ever created. The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim Anniversary Edition is out for PS4, PS5, Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, PC. Barrett, thank you for that. I would just like to once again say, no more Skyrim, please. PUBG New Slate. I don't even know. New State. I don't even know what that is. I assume it's PUBG for iOS and Android. There you go. Breakwaters for PC. Sounds like what happens when you try and hold in your pee for too long.
Oh,
Epic
no.
Chef, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. Kinga, Seeds of Civilization for PC. Killer in the Cabin for PC. Megaquarium, Architect's Collection DLC for PC.
Megaquarium?
Megaquarium. Not just Whoa! A normal aquarium, a megaquarium. And then finally, House Builder for PC, because Lord knows you ain't buying a house in this economy, so you better build one on PC. Fake one. Also, of course, this week, we've partnered once again with NVIDIA to keep you updated on all the latest GeForce RTX additions to your favorite games. From ray tracing, that's right, Raymond Tracing is back at it again, to NVIDIA DLSS, to NVIDIA Reflex. NVIDIA DLSS, if you don't know, is now accelerating performance with uncompromised image quality in over 120 games and apps, with even more being added every month, including today, Bright Memory Infinite. Yes, we just talked about it. It launches on PC today and is enhanced with RTX ray tracing shadows, reflections, caustics, and global illumination, along with performance accelerating NVIDIA DLSS, which boosts performance by up to 2.5 times at 4K with Raymond Tracing enabled and Reflex, and can support system latency of up to 49%. And if you have GeForce RTX graphics cards on your desktop or laptop, you can also enable NVIDIA DLSS in GTA Trilogy, the Definitive Edition, to accelerate your performance by up to 85%. If you've got that and can do it, why are you not doing it? Just do it. It makes perfect sense. New dates. Rainbow Six Extraction, the game formerly known as Rainbow Six Quarantine, unfortunately timed to be promoted during a pandemic, is now coming on January 20th. And it's coming with Buddy Pass, which lets friends play for free, along with full cross-play, cross-save, and cross-progression on Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Stadia, as well as Windows PC through Ubisoft Store. Stadia is still alive and well, if you didn't know.
I just love to hear it, Tam. Cross-play, cross-save, cross-progression.
Exactly.
Cross-standardize it, baby. Okay, cross- let's go.
Everything.
January 20th, a great date for that game. Definitely won't be forgotten like a week or two later.
No, not at all. I doubt you will even remember it. That was an Elden Ring reference for everyone. Deals of the day. Ubisoft sale is happening on Green Man Gaming, where you can find multiple Assassin's Creed titles being discounted. Watch Dogs. There's a couple of Ghost Recon titles on there as well, if you want to get that. And of course, if you want to play GTA San Andreas, the new one, the Definitive Edition, and have Game Pass, you can do it for free. It's available on there. You'd love to see it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's jump into You're Wrong and see if there's anything in there. Oh, my goodness, there's so much. Oh, wait, no, those are from yesterday.
Oh, we're looking good. Yeah,
We're good. Frank B24... LLL, please, what are you doing, Frank? Jeff Keighley responded to a tweet from IGN saying that it was not 40 to 50 games and to reread the interview. Jeff Keighley corrected the 40 to 50 games quotes, clarifying that his interview only said double digits. Okay, then. There you go, then. Fair enough. The nanobiologist says the game Compulsion launched on PS4 was called Contrast. Cool.
Yeah, thank you. Contrast is pretty cool.
We appreciate those your wrongs, even though they technically weren't wrongs. They were like kind of like clarifications, if you know what I'm saying. So technically, zero for zero here.
We're doing zero. Tim,
let's go, baby. Let's go. Tomorrow's hosts are Blessing and Janet. If you are watching live, what am I saying here? If you want to catch the stream later, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. After this, you want it. So you're going to get it. It's Metal Gear Solid 5, baby.
Four.
Stay tuned.
Guns of the Patriots. Four. Yeah.
Guns of the Patriots.
We still have a long time before
we get to five. But when we get there, it's going to be a good-ass time. Let me tell you.
We got to be four. Mm-hmm. We got to go through Peace Walker. We got to go through Ground Zeroes as well.
You need to go to the Peace Walker Portable Ops Saga is what I like to call Fulton Recovery Gaiden. It's an entire branch of the Metal Gear Solid story designed entirely to get you comfortable with the idea of Fulton Recovery. And then you come back to 5 and you're like, I get it. I understand why this makes sense.
Yep.
Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we run you through all the nerdy news you need to know to validate your life decisions, which have been good. You're a gamer. Believe in yourself and love it. We have a Patreon post show coming up, so stick around. That is, of course, for people who are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Go over there. Chuck some bucks in there if you can. Support this fine crew and the content that they make. So stick around for the post show. Otherwise, until next time, laugh and grow fat.